Sega host. Sarvani. All. Mat nishyataya. Because of being my sitting place. Babad bihi. By you. Charani. That move. Bhutani. Living entities. Sutaha. My dear sons. Dhruvani. That do not move. Sambhavitavyani. To be respected. Pade pade. At every moment. Vaha. By you. Vivikta drigbihi. Possessing clear vision and understanding that the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His Paramatma feature, in His Paramatma feature, is situated everywhere. Tat u, that indirectly. Ha, certainly. Arhanam, offering respect. May, unto me. So translation. My dear sons, you should not envy any living entity, be he moving or non-moving. Knowing that I'm situated in them, you should offer respect to all of them at every moment. In this way, you offer respect to me. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. In this verse, the word vivikta drigbihi, meaning without envy, is used. All living entities are the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His Paramatma feature, as confirmed in Brahma Samhita. Adantarastam paramanu chayantarastam. The Lord is situated in this universe as Garbha Dakshayi Vishnu and Shiro Dakshayi Vishnu. He is also situated within every atom. According to the Vedic statement, Ishvasham Idam Sarvam, the Supreme Lord is situated everywhere, and wherever He is situated is His temple. We even offer respects to a temple from a distant place, and all the living entities should similarly be offered respect. This is different from the theory of pantheism, which holds that everything is God. Everything has a relationship with God because God is situated everywhere. We should not make any particular distinction between the poor and the rich like the foolish worshippers of Daridra Narayana. Narayana is present in the rich as well as the poor. One should not simply think Narayana is situated among the poor. He is everywhere. An advanced devotee will offer respects to everyone, even to cats and dogs. Vidya vinaya sampanni brahmani kavi hastini shuni chaiva svakke cha pandita sama darshanaha. The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog-eater outcast. This is from the Bhagavad Gita, 5th chapter, text 18. This samadarshanaha, equal vision, should not be mistaken to mean that the individual is the same as the Supreme Lord. They are always distinct. Every individual person is different from the Supreme Lord. It is a mistake to equate the individual living entity with the Supreme Lord on the plea of vivikta drik, or samadrik. The Lord is always in an exalted position, even though He agrees to live everywhere. Srila Madhvacharya, quoting the Padma Purana, states, vivikta drishti jivanam jishnyataya parameshvarasya veda drishtihi. One who has clear vision and who is devoid of envy can see that the Supreme Lord is separate from all living entities, although He is situated in every living entity. Madhvacharya further quotes from the Padma Purana, Upapadayet para paratmanam jivebhyo yapade pade vede naivana chaitasmat priyo vishnostu kaschana. One who sees the living entity and the Supreme Lord as always distinct is very dear to the Lord. Padma Purana also states, Yoharech chaiva jivanam veda vakta hare priyaha. One who preaches that the living entities are separate from the Supreme Lord is very dear to Lord Vishnu. Sarvani madhishnyateya bhavadvish charani bhuktani sutadruvani sambhavatavyani pate patevo vivikta drigvistad uharanam ve. So omaganata mirandasha Karanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, as we know, there are three different grades of devotees. There's the Kanishtha Adhikari, Majjhima Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. Three different grades. So the Kanishtha Adhikari, what does he do? He just sees Krishna in the temple. He comes to the temple, offers respects to the deities, worships the deities, but he doesn't see Krishna in everyone's heart and everyone's atom. He doesn't see like that. Therefore, Lord Kapiladeva in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam states that the Kanishtha Adhikari's service even to the deities is not accepted. He says that it is like offering oblations to ashes. If you offer oblations or offer sacrifice to ashes, it doesn't do any good. You're supposed to offer sacrifice to a fire. So if you just like go swaha on a bunch of ashes, there's no fire there. So in the same way, if one does service to the deities but doesn't properly respect the Vaishnavas and all living entities, then it is practically useless. That's the statement of Lord Kapiladeva. So, and of course, the Majjhima Adhikari, he sees different classes of living entities. He sees the Supreme Lord. He sees the Jiva souls, the individual souls. He's able to make, and he sees the envious, and he sees the innocent. So what he does is interact differently with these different types of living entities. With the living entities who are envious, he avoids. He doesn't preach to. And living entities who are innocent, he preaches to. And the Supreme Lord, he worships. So, and the Uttama Adhikari, he sees everyone is serving Krishna. Of course, he offers respects to everyone too, except for himself. And the Uttama Adhikari, in one sense, doesn't preach. He's just absorbed in his internal relationship, pastime, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, the Uttama Adhikari comes down and acts like a Majjhima in order to preach. So preaching is actually on the Majjhima platform. It's not on the Kanishtha platform. It's not on the Uttama platform, but it's on the Majjhima platform. So in order to preach, in order to distinguish between the different categories of entities, you know, the Supreme Lord and Jiva souls, etc., then one has to, Supreme Lord, devotees, innocent, envious, one has to give up envy. So this is what's mentioned here. So what I want to do is analyze what envy is. Does anyone know what envy is? I'll ask you all a question. What's envy? What? Yeah. That's a symptom of envy. You get angry when someone's doing something better than you. But what's the essence of envy? That's a secondary quality of envy. Just like anything, there are secondary qualities and primary qualities. Like a Like, for example, the primary quality of pure devotional service is you just want to serve Krishna. You want to serve Krishna favorably, you're active, and you want to do it with devotion. That's primary quality. Secondary quality would be like the qualities of the Vaishnavas, you know, peaceful, equipoise, that come from the primary quality. So what's the primary quality of envy? Nobody knows. I'll answer the question, that's why I'm asking it, but anyway. The primary quality of envy is you want something that someone else has. You understand? Someone else has. Whether it's a talent, whether it's a strength, whether it's intelligence, whether it's money. And ultimately, our envy started off in wanting what Krishna has. What does Krishna have? Does anyone know? The opulences. What are the opulences of Krishna? He's famous. Everybody knows him. So we want to be known too. That's why sometimes we chant louder, because we want people to respect us. We want to lead kirtan. Famous. Or we're very happy to have our name in the newspaper. Isn't it? We have, if our name is in the newspaper, we cut it out and put it in our scrapbook. Or we have our wedding pictures, right? And everybody comes to our house and we show them our wedding pictures, even though, or the video that goes on for 4 hours of our wedding, even though it's boring as hell. Because we want respect, profit, adoration. We want adoration. We want fame. What other qualities? What are the other opulences of Krishna? Wealth. So what happens when we see someone with a more expensive car or something like that? We want it. We want, you know, we feel upset. The upsetness is the secondary quality. Anger is the secondary quality. Anger is not the same as envy. It manifests because of envy. It manifests because we're frustrated. We want something. We don't have jayato vishayakpum sang sangaste vijayate sangat sanjayate kama kama krodha vijayate. Because we're contemplating what someone else has. And then we become angry. So, all right, so we become envious of someone's fame, someone's riches. What else? Oh, strength. You know, someone's strong and someone's beautiful, right? Like the ladies, they look at some Bollywood actress and they want to dress up like them, right? Or the man is saying to his wife, why don't you look like her? What happened? You got older. I mean, so I remember when you were looking nice. Anyway, so what's another one? Knowledge. You know, someone's very intelligent. And then what's the final one?
Renunciation.
Renunciation. So you look at a sannyasi. He's not really renounced. I saw him eating sweets in his room the other day. Like Ramachandra Puri, he criticized Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he saw some ants running around in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hut or in the Gambira. And he said, that means the sannyasi's been eating sweets. He eats too much. So there's ants, even if you have a garland, there's ants all over the place. What to speak of sweets. So people are envious. Ultimately, it's of God. Because Ishwaroham aham bhogi siruham phalavan sukhi. We actually want the opulences of God. We want, and demons like Ravana, who will be celebrating next week. Ravana. Actually, on Rambijai, we celebrate Ravana's disappearance day. You understand? Disappearance day of Ravana. So, like Ravana, they actually directly want Lakshmi. They directly want Sita Devi. I mean, we're not so obvious about it. We're little Ravanas. But at least, one thing I admire Ravana about, he's honest. But the rest of you are dishonest. You know, Ravana, I'm a demon. I want Sita Devi. I want to enjoy Lankapati, Jagatpati, right? What else did he say? Sitapati. Isn't that, you know, but we're not saying those things, but we're internally, we're feeling those same things. So we want what Krishna has. You know, we want a beautiful wife, or the wife wants a strong husband who can protect her, or a rich husband. Or what other types of husbands are there? Strong, rich, or intelligent. And you see, these things attract people. And they bewilder you. Janmai Shradiya Shratasya Shivir Edamana Adapuman. This is Queen Kunti's prayer. That she's praying to become detached from good birth, which is the prestige, you know, the fame. Janmai Aishwarya, riches, Shrutasya, which means, you know, being proud of your intelligence, and Shribir, you know, the beauty. So these things are very, very bewildering to the conditioned soul, and we want these things. And when someone else has something that we want, which is basically Krishna, and which means all the living entities, we become envious of them. And even, I mean, even let's say an animal, like a goat, what does he have what we want? We want his body. You know, even manifest in such a way that Prabhupada said meat eating is envy of other living entities. Because you want what doesn't belong to you. What belongs to you, really? Does anything belong to you? What? Nothing. Nothing except... except your soul. Your soul doesn't even belong to you. Your soul belongs to Krishna. Manasa deha geha yogeshamor arbilam tuya padi nandakishore. My mind, my body, my words, everything belong to you, oh nandakishore. So these are the two divisions of material consciousness, I and mine. So it belongs to us, it's mine. I want to enjoy, like you look at an animal, I want to enjoy your body by eating you. Yeah. Or you look at a pretty woman, I want to enjoy your body. Or I want to enjoy becoming temple president by being the controller, by being the, what else? Enjoyer, the prestige. Or taking sannyas. That's another one. I want to enjoy by taking sannyas so everyone will bathe my feet, right? And write books about me. Isn't it? I mean, it's very interesting. You know, write Vyas Puja books about me. And then you have the people who are envious of the sannyasis, and they go on the internet and they have all these web pages, right? Who criticize the sannyasi, and in the name of Prabhupada, there's one magazine called Back to Prabhupada, where they criticize people who are serving Krishna. So this envy is going on. And the only cure that I know for the envy is to realize that nirmana moha jita sanga dosha vyatma nitya vinivritta kama vanvar vimuktar sukaduka sangyar gachanchamudha. This is from the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna describes how entangling this material world is. The way to overcome this envy is to understand basically nothing is mine but nirmana moha, to give up this false prestige. Mana. Just like it's described here, this mana means prestige, so nirmana means giving it up. Just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays, what? Amanina. Right? Amanina, manadena. But also manadena. So the method of giving up false prestige is to manadena, to actually offer respects to others, which is what Lord Rishabhadeva is saying right here. He said, you should offer respect to all of them at every moment. So not only to Krishna, but we offer respects to all living entities. So how do we do that? I mean, now that we're still overcome with envy, and we're upset, we want to use other people or other entities for our enjoyment, or we want what Krishna has. So how do we do it? That requires the proper application of intelligence. Because as we know, there's earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. The intelligence should control the mind. The mind actually wants to be envious of other living entities. So with the intelligence, we should be able to identify that this is an improper thought. Like if you feel you want something that someone else has, then immediately there should be a red light that goes on in your head. Beep, beep, you know, like an alarm. You know, like you have an alarm system or something like that. Beep, beep, envy, envy, envy. And you don't act on it. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, we find so-called intelligent people acting on their envy. I'm going to tell one or two of those stories. And as a result of that, their lives became destroyed. For example, there was one person who was envious of Shivas Thakur. Shivas Thakur, of course, was holding the kirtan in his house every night. That's the Shiva Sangam. And he was so envious of Shivas Thakur, he wanted to blame him for something he didn't do. In other words, he wanted to make it seem like Shivas Thakur was worshipping Durga at night. So what he did is he framed him. You know that statement, framing someone? Sometimes when police want to arrest someone, they put marijuana in their house. And then the police come in and say, oh, you have this marijuana? Go to jail. So he wanted to do that too with Shrivas Thakur, to blaspheme him. So as a result, he put the ingredients for worshipping Durga in front of the door of Shrivas Thakur, like vermilion and wine and other things like that. And so Shrivas Thakur, he woke up next day and he saw all these ingredients and he said, you know, being very humble, all right, now you all know I'm worshipping Durga. But the other Vaishnavas knew it wasn't true. And this person's name who was envious was named Gopal Chapala, or Chapal Gopal. And then as a result of that person's envy, that person developed leprosy. We find that often in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, that when people out of envy did something, they actually developed some physical disease after that. And they became, so he developed leprosy, and later on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forgave him when Shrivas Thakur forgave him, and he was cured from that leprosy. Another example is the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. His name was Amoga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was God, was taking prasad in the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And as he was eating prasad, he was eating quite a bit. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya would eat a lot. Like, there was one example in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the devotees would bring prasad to Lord Chaitanya from Mayapur every year, and Lord Chaitanya's servants, Govinda, would just keep it stocked up, and he would lie to the devotees saying, Lord Chaitanya has eaten this prasad. And so the Govinda started to get very upset, and Lord Chaitanya said, what's your problem? And Govinda said, I'm lying to the devotees. I don't feel very good about this. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, don't worry. And then he sat down and he ate practically a whole storehouse full of prasad at one time. So Lord Chaitanya is God. He can eat anything he wants and as much as he wants, and we shouldn't criticize. But in the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, there was the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Moga, and he wanted to criticize Lord Chaitanya. He was looking for fault. You find people like that all the time, isn't it? Who are just like watching you all the time. You know, isn't it? I mean, even in one of our temples, I was showing the devotees yesterday, I put cameras in every room in the temple so I can watch wherever I am in the world and find fault in the devotees. So they're like that. Prabhupada said it's like a fly. Like if you have a fly, you know what a fly is?
little bug.
And especially in India, you see this, where they don't have the sanitation, such good sanitation, and people relieve themselves in the open, in the fields, and the flies come and land. So the flies look for the, what, stool. So they're always looking, where is some stool? Or like the vultures, they're always looking, what? You don't have vultures here, I don't think, in Fiji. But vulture flies very high, very elevated soul. We have vultures where I live. They fly like, I think they fly like 10,000 meters in the air. You know, very high, very big birds. And they're looking for what? Dead bodies. They have very good eyesight, and all they're doing is looking for dead bodies. So you find that people who are envious, it's like that. They're just like, they make me very nervous because they're always looking for something, right? Very dangerous. I have to really be careful. It's like Ramchandrapuri. Anyway, so Amoga, and then we'll tell the story of Ramchandrapuri later. But Amoga, he was looking for fault with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was eating a lot. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya knew the quality of his son-in-law. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was standing with a stick at the door so that Amoga wouldn't be able to see. But somehow or other, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a little inattentive. And Amoga, he saw it. He said, this sannyasi is eating as much as 10 men. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, feeling very, very angry, started to chase after Amoga with the stick. And of course, Amoga was younger, so he was able to outrun Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, from this day forward, my daughter, Sati, that was his daughter's name, is a widow. She's no longer married. He's dead. So in other words, he took this real heavy stance because of the offense made against Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Amoga, as is inevitable in these cases, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, Amoga got cholera. You have cholera here in Fiji? No, not so much. Cholera is a very heavy, you know, fever. People die all the time from cholera. So he was just having cholera because of the disease in his heart. Because of the envy towards God and all the living entities. As actually, even the scientists have analyzed, doctors have analyzed, when someone has a lot of anger in their heart, they get diseases like cancer and other diseases occur in the body. The body is actually, and the body and the mind are sort of like together. So your consciousness, in many cases, determines diseases that you get. So Lord Chaitanya was feeling very merciful towards Amoga because Amoga was connected with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he understood that if Amoga had died from cholera, it would have been, in one sense, very heavy for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Amoga, put his hand on Amoga's chest and said, envy does not belong in the heart of a Brahmana. Get up and chant Hare Krishna. So Amoga got up, and he started chanting Hare Krishna, and he felt very remorseful. Basically, he was slapping himself. How can I, with this mouth, I blaspheme the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Please forgive me. And so the final story I'll tell in this regard is the story of Ramchandrapuri. Ramchandrapuri was even envious of his own spiritual master. His spiritual master, Ishwarapuri, was... Madhavendrapuri was passing away, and Madhavendrapuri was experiencing symptoms of the highest ecstasy, you know, Vipralamba Seva. And Ramchandrapuri had the audacity, that means, how to put that in simple language, he had the stupidity to advise his guru that instead of feeling symptoms of separation from Krishna, he should just meditate on Brahman. He quoted this verse, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasachatina Kanchati. When you're absorbed in Brahman, you don't hanker or lament. So he advises his guru that, and his guru, of course, said, I'm experiencing this ecstasy. I still have not reached Mathura. And this fool has come to harass me. Get out of here. I don't want to see your face anymore. And so then this Ramchandrapuri started to go around And his whole business was to criticize other Vaishnavas. He would invite Vaishnavas over to his house, and he would give them a lot of prasadam. Just insist, you have to eat more, you have to eat more, you have to eat more. And then after they were finished, you eat too much. I've heard the rumors that the followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eat too much, and now I have seen it to be a fact. So he was a very harsh critic of the devotees. And Lord Chaitanya, because he was criticized by this Ramchandra Puri, didn't criticize back, which is very interesting. What he did was he reduced his eating to about half or even less of what he was eating before. And all the Vaishnavas got angry. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this Ramchandra Puri is simply giving good instructions to sannyasis how to eat less. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya showed us the ideal situation. Not to find fault in others, not to, even if someone else picks a fight, we don't continue fighting. Just like when children are young, and you find two children fighting and you stop it, what do they say? He said, he started it, right? You ever see that? He started it. No, he started it. That's right, but you continued it. So this whole concept, isn't it? He started, so what? He called me a bad name, and I punched him in the mouth. So both people are wrong. So therefore, we have to develop this quality of not only non-envy, because that's actually a negative, of love for all living entities, to the point where even if someone attacks us out of their envy, then we don't attack back. Like Haridas Thakur being whipped in 22 marketplaces. He didn't attack back. He didn't curse them. He simply prayed for their welfare and ultimately did something to try to help them. May believe he was dead already so that they would not be chastised. And of course, the most amazing example is Prahlad. Prahlad Maharaj, after all his father did to him, he loved his father. Can you imagine that? After your father attempts to kill you in a multitude of ways, then you still ask Lord Nrisinghadev to forgive him. So that's lack of envy. That's really what lack of envy means. Because lack doesn't mean anything. But the positive is, as Krishna, Lord Rishabhde says here, offer respect to all of them at every moment. In other words, offer respect not just physically, but with your mind. That's harder. I mean, I can offer respect to anybody, dandavats. It's easy. Like Prabhupada said, dandavat devotee. A dandavat devotee just offers respects, but you know, he's just doing that for his own purposes, to get something from you. Like you go and you buy a car, and the car salesman will offer respects to you, right? He'll say, oh, Mr. Swami. I've experienced that. Mr. Swami, oh, how are you and the little Swamis doing? Well, I'm a sannyasi. Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway. But that's external. But offering respect, it's even harder. Ridvag Bapurvir. Because we find this verse, Tate Nukam Tam Shushamikshmana Vunjanavatma Kritam Vipakam Ridvag Bapurvir Vritadam Namaste. So that's, of course, referring to offer respect with your mind, your body, and your words to Krishna. But we're expanding that to Krishna's parts and parcels. Ishavasham Idam Sarvam Yakinja Jagajam Jagat. Gastu Sarvani Bhutani Atman Evani Pashati. That's another verse from the Ishupanishad. So we have to offer respects with our hearts to people. That's the hard thing. How do you do that? How do you offer, really feel loving towards everybody? Does anyone have any ideas? How do you do that? You see everybody as your relative. You understand? They're all your relatives. It's not simply someone who has this skin disease relationship. My mother, my father, my brother, my cousin, my
son-in-law, my mother, whatever, you know, my little baby. But it's all, we're all part of the same family. Jastu sarvani bhutani atmane vanupashati. And Krishna loves them. And we love Krishna. So, yasmin vigati. So if you love Krishna, then you love everybody. You see everybody in relation. It's not a separate thing. In other words, I can't develop love for everybody by just thinking, oh, I should love you, let me try my best. I should love you, let me try my best. I love you, let me try my best. It'll be useless, because we'll never come to an end. And then you'll always have some quality which I don't like white hair or something like that. So, why does he have a secret? No. So there'll always be something I don't like about you. So instead, we center on Krishna, we chant his holy names, we pray to Krishna, we use our intelligence to please Krishna, and then the love for all living entities can manifest in the heart. It's not an artificial thing. That's our process of Krishna consciousness. So you can't separate loving Krishna from loving other living entities. Some people try to go the opposite way. They try to love all living entities and do charitable activities, but then they neglect spirituality and loving Krishna. And then it's just selfish. Because why are they doing charitable activities? Because it makes them feel good for their own self. So even someone who is just immersed in trying to love all living entities, but not trying to love Krishna, can't do it. And if you just try to love Krishna and don't see all living entities in relationship to Krishna, you can't do that either. So there's a happy medium. You love Krishna and you see all living entities in relationship to Krishna. So any questions or comments? Why is what? Atmavatmanyatejagak. That is because if people are envious, they'll see those same qualities in others. That's atmavat manyate jagat. As you are, you see the whole world. Like if I like to satisfy my tongue, let's say, you know, I like luxurious food, whatever, then I'm going to look at you when you're eating and think, ooh, you are lusty. Right? Or, I mean, let's take the example of Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy, he was teaching Devi Dasis how to dance. You know that story? I mean, these young girls, he was teaching them how to dance and, you know, dressing them and even massaging their bodies. So if we, in our perverted consciousness, look at that, we'll think, this is lust, right? We'll project our own misconceptions, our own lust upon others. Because we are lusty, we see others as being lusty. Because we are envious, we see others as being envious. So that's a disqualification. Actually, one who is a Vaishnava, he is adverse to finding faults with others. I mean, we can correct others. It's not that a disciple should say to the guru, you're not a Vaishnava because you find faults in what I'm doing. Can you imagine that? You know, like the disciple is doing something. I mean, for example, one time, several times, people put salt in the Charanamrita. And can you imagine? Like, Prabhupada loved to take the Charanamrita in the morning. For those of you who don't know, Charanamrita is the bathing water of the deities, and you're supposed to mix it with yogurt. You know, see here, it's just separate. They put water, but the bathing water is mixed with yogurt and a little sugar. That's how you make prepare. That's how Prabhupada instructed us to make Charanamrita. Anyway, it's a different issue. So Prabhupada took Charanamrita one morning. Actually, it happened twice. So the Prabhupada took it, and it was full of salt. Because sometimes when the devotees in the kitchen, they buy bulk. You understand? Bulk. Salt and sugar, and if you're cooking real quickly, you can't see the difference between the two. So they put salt in the charanamrita. Some Prabhupada took it. Who has done this? And it was actually a young girl in the kitchen. You know, I said, I've done it, Prabhupada, I'm sorry. And Prabhupada was just like so angry. But that was to correct someone out of compassion for someone. But someone who is envious will criticize. So why is he getting angry? Or when Prabhupada would be giving a lecture in India, he would speak very heavy about impersonalists and Mayavadis. Those rascals, you should kick on their faces with boots. And someone would say, oh, he's not a sadhu. But they're envious of Krishna, because if you love Krishna, if someone criticizes Krishna, you'll get angry. If someone criticizes your little baby, you're going to get angry, right? But if I go to your son, my poor, and I criticize, angry. That's not natural. Love means that anger has to manifest sometime. If Krishna's not being treated properly, if Krishna's being criticized, a symptom of love is that we get angry. It's not a symptom of envy. It's not a symptom of anything else. It's a symptom of love. So you have to see, as I said, the primary quality behind the action, not the secondary quality. Because anger doesn't necessarily mean frustrated lust. Anger doesn't necessarily mean envy. It can mean a whole variety of things depending on the circumstance. So you have to see the primary quality, why the secondary qualities manifest. Do you follow? Let's follow. So when Srila Gurudev criticized someone, it was to help them, to rectify them so they wouldn't go on committing offenses and doing nonsense for the rest of their lives. I mean, people should be criticized. They say, what, spare the rod, spoil the disciple. I'm too soft in that regard. I'm like peace and love. If I was actually intelligent, I would start criticizing everybody. Peace, love. Actually, even if you want peace, that's material. Do you understand? We want bhakti, not just peace. Oh, love. All you need is love, love. All you need is love. No, all you need is bhakti. And sometimes bhakti manifests as anger. I mean, even Radharani gets angry with Krishna sometimes, right? And Krishna likes that. Krishna gets angry with the demons. You can say, well, Krishna, why are you so angry with this poor demon? This poor Ravana. I mean, all he wanted was just enjoy. You should be kind. You know, you're supposed to be kind to all living entities. Isn't it? God's supposed to be kind. I mean, Ravana. But actually, the question was asked in the Bhagavatam by Maharaj Pariksit. Why are you not equal to everybody? And then the answer was, Krishna is equal, because when he kills someone, they get liberated. That's for their benefit. So his benedictions to the devotees and his killing the demons, in one sense, illustrate his equality. Samaham sarva bhuteshu name dvesho stinapriha. That's from Bhagavad Gita. So, anyway, people criticize Krishna. I mean, I remember that there was one lady, she didn't get along with her husband very well, and she wanted another husband. And she said, Krishna can have so many wives, why can't I have more than one husband? Huh? So they're criticizing Krishna for being lusty. Prabhupada also said, if Krishna's lusty, he's unlimitedly lusty, which is all right. So people get so, they criticize Krishna. Even in Russia, they were getting ready to ban the Bhagavad Gita, right? Because they thought it was a terrorist book. So they were criticizing Krishna. So people will criticize Krishna, but people will criticize you, people will criticize me, who cares? Sticks and stones can break your bones, but names can never hurt you, right? So you should figure out how to love those who are criticizing you. If you don't feel love in your heart towards those people, then your love is simply based on your own sense gratification. Love your enemy. And every religion in the world, bona fide religion, teaches that. Jesus Christ said, if someone hits you on one cheek, you turn another cheek. There's no bona fide religion in the world, bona fide, that's the operative word, that teaches you to hate people. We love everyone. We may hate the sin, not the sinner. You understand? There's a difference. Jesus Christ, that's the Bible. So the Vedic literature is the same. You don't hate anybody or hate anything. Yastu sarvani bhutani atmana imana pachati sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tatodna vikigupshate. One who is Krishna conscious sees everything parcel or connected with Krishna, doesn't hate anyone or anything. And now we have to end. Okay, all glorious to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.